All right, Jerusalem. Good morning. Let's begin. Today's daf is Lamed Hey. We left off on the top of Lamed Hey on the Dal. Ten Rabbanim. Creates other. So again, remember, we're now transitioning into a discussion about the Esrog. We've already covered the Lulav, the Hadas, the Arava. So the Gemara says, fine, Ten Rabbanim. The Gemara now quotes a Braisa. Creates other. What does it mean? Remember, again, the Torah does not explicitly call the Esrog an Esrog, but rather it calls it the fruit of an eitz, of a tree, hadar. What does this mean? So the Gemara says, eitz shetam eitzo irpirio shave. This refers ultimately to a fruit whose the taste of its tree and the taste of its fruit are the same. Have omer ze esrog. And again, the truth is, there's only one fruit that satisfies this criteria. And ultimately, again, that's called an esrog. The ema palpulin. I say it refers to peppers, and I will say this doesn't refer to peppers like regular, like green or red. This refers like to what we call peppercorns, which grow a little bit more on a bush-like, well, small tree type thing. So ve'ema palpulin, kidisanya, as we learned in a braisa, ha'irabi meirom remer used to say the following, mimash mashene emar unetatem kol eitz, when the pasuk says, I will say this is talking about over here, the halachos of Arla. So the Torah says, Unetatem kol eitz ma'achal. You will plant for yourself every tree for consumption. So the Gemara says, Mashma shene emar unetatem kol eitz, eini yodea shuhu eitz ma'achal. And I will say, why does the Torah, when it's, if it's speaking about Arla and telling you that you can't go and eat the fruit of the first 3 years, why do you have to call the tree an eitz ma'achal? After all, again, obviously we're talking about food items. Matam lomer eitz ma'achal ought to teach you eitz shetam eitzo upirio. Because the pasuk is giving an allusion, a hint, to a particular type of tree, where the tree tastes like the fruit. Fruit, Rebbe say, again, remember, just means the item that grows on it. And what is that? Havi omer ze palpulin. So the Gemara says this refers to peppercorns. I'm just going to call pepper. L'landecha shapalpulin chayavin ba'arla. And we learn from here that palpulin, these peppercorns, are chayiv in arla. They will say, of course, the interesting part about that, look at Rashi, chayiv in barla. Rashi writes, the lotema min yeriki. Don't assume that the peppercorn is a type of vegetable. Mipnei shuhu eats shafel, kamin rosam, she'ina gava min aretz. Because ultimately, again, although it does not grow on a tall tree, it's still considered to be something that grows on a tree, and therefore has the status of a fruit. And therefore, again, remember, by definition, if it's a fruit, then it's chayiv in arla. Furthermore, the ein eretz yisrael chasira klum. And what else do we see? That eretz yisrael lacks nothing. Eretz yisrael has everything. That eretz yisrael even has the trees that taste like the fruit. Shene emar lo sechsar kolba, because the Torah says that eretz yisrael is the land where nothing is missing, nothing is deficient. So the Gemara says the following. Now here's the issue. The Gemara wanted to say pre-eitz hadar. That what does pre-eitz hadar mean? That this is the pre, and both the pre and the eitz are hadar. Both the pre and the eitz are beautiful, meaning that the pre tastes like the pre and the eitz tastes like the pre. So Gemara says, oh, what does that refer to? It's the esrog. What the Gemara has just demonstrated is there's another example of this, of the palpulin. So maybe pre-eitz hadar is not an esrog, but maybe pre-eitz hadar is palpulin of these peppercorns. To which the Gemara says, it can't be, I'll tell you why. Hasam bishum de lo efshar. It can't be that you're supposed to use the palpulin first, so kiss why for dalin minim. Hechi navid, what should I do? Nin kot chada, if I just take one peppercorn, so lo minkara liki chasa. I will say the peppercorns are very small, and the act of taking one peppercorn will be insignificant. Nin kot tre utlasa. And if you're going to tell me I should take two or three peppercorns, that can't be either. Why? Echad amirachmara, here in the Mesorah Sashas, he changes it over here to pre-echad amrachmana velo shnayim u'shlosha peros. Rabbi say, here's the problem. The pasuk is phrased in the singular, pre-eitz hadar, one fruit, which indicates to us that I can only take one fruit for the dalim minim and not more than one. Hilchach lo efshar. Therefore, Rabbi say, there's only one possibility to which the pasuk could refer to, and that is the esrog. Next opinion. Rabbi Omer, Rabbi says, atikre hadar ela hadir. So Rebbe says, no, don't read it as pre-eitz hadar, but rather pre-eitz hadir. The Rebbe will say, a deer is a pen or a corral. So the Gemara says, so what meaning Rashi says over here, hadir, pre-eitz shedoma ilano ledir sheltzon. It is a pre, it's a fruit, the esrog is a fruit, whose tree is similar to a corral or to a pen of sheep. Now what does that mean? Ma dir ze yesh bo gidolim uketanim. Just like when you look in the pen, a corral of sheep, there are large sheep, there are small sheep. Tamimim, there are complete sheep, ubali mumim, and blemish sheep. Hachanami, ye so too on the esrog tree, yesh bo gidolim uketanim. Tamimim ubali mumim, so too on the esrog tree. There are big esrogim, small esrogim, complete esrogim, and blemished esrogim. So I don't understand what he's talking about. Atu shar peros lespu gidolim uketanim tamimim ubali mumim. Are you trying to tell me that other fruit trees don't have large fruits, small fruits, blemished fruits, and unblemished fruits? Every fruit tree has that. The Gemara says, no. The Gemara says, this ties back to something we learned before. Elohachi kamer, this is what it means to say. Ad sheboin kitanim adayin gidolin kayomim. Oh, here's what it means. Esrog is unique, Rabosai, because what? While the new fruit is on the tree, while the new fruit is beginning to blossom, the old fruit is still on the tree. Look at Rashi for just a moment. Hachi ka'amar ad sheba'im kitanim kilomar, hai gidolim uketanim, lav shalshana achas kamar. So we'll say, originally, the way we thought the Gemara was saying was that the esrog tree has large fruit and small fruit all at the, from the same year's crop. And therefore, that's what leads the Gemara to ask, but every fruit tree has that. To which the Gemara now actually says, elo gidolim shalishtakid uketanim shalshana zu. Rather, what it means to say is, there are the large fruits from last year and the small fruits from this year. Shah esrog dar the gadol beilano shtayim v'shalosh shanim ukishabotin v'choltin shal achshav adayin gidon d'ishtakid kliyom and bor. We said we mentioned this before. We actually mentioned it again, that the esrog tree is unique, or the esrog fruit is unique in that it does not fall off the tree on its own. It only comes off when plucked, when I don't know if plucked is right, but when reaped. So therefore, again, they harvested. Good. All right, taken off. Right. So now what the Gemara is saying over here is the following, that the esrog tree is unique in that what? You have the gidolim, the large ones from last year, together with the small ones from this year, all together on one tree. Just like the deer, just like the corral that has the older animals, the younger animals, all together within one enclosure. Rabbi Avo says, Al tikri hadar, Ella hadar. So it's interesting. Don't read it as hadar, beautiful. Rather, read it as hadar, that which dwells, which is similar to the previous rasha. Davar shadar bi'ilanu, mi'ilanu mishana l'shana. That the esrog is a fruit that dwells on the tree from year to year. Well, it's similar to what we just said before, that lemaisa, again, if not picked, the esrog fruit will remain on the tree. Benazai says, it's very interesting, al tikri hadar, Ella Idur. So interesting enough, why? Shekin Beloshon Yevani Korin Lemayim Idur. Because I'll say apparently in Greek, water is called Idur. Idur. Ve'ezohi Shagadal Kolamayim. Havi Omer Zasrak. So we'll say it's very interesting. So what Benazai is suggesting over here is pre-Eitz Hadar, actually should be vocalized as Idur. Now, what does that mean? Idur means water. The esrog tree is very unique. The esrog tree needs, you can actually see this if you ever go to an esrog grove. So you'll notice that even in areas where there is significant amount of rainfall, there is always irrigation provided for esrog trees. Esrog trees, normally most plants either subsist on rainfall or irrigation. An esrog tree requires an incredible amount of water and therefore usually is fed from both sources, natural rainfall if there is, as well as irrigation. So therefore, Ben Azai says, read it as pre-Eitz Idur. It is the pre of the tree that requires a significant amount of water. Ve'ezohi shagadla kolmayim. And what is the fruit? What is the fruit that requires so much water? Havi omer ze esrog. I will tell you, this refers to the esrog. We'll say, just an aside, by the way, that it's interesting that you'll say, so why would the Torah go ahead and use a Greek word in describing the esrog? Because the Torah does this in a number of different places, where the Torah intentionally uses foreign, what will become foreign languages, as part of the Torah. For example, some of the classic examples that we have are totafos, right? Tefillin. So Rashi says there's no Hebrew word totafos, right? Rashi says tat bekafsi, so tat in some type of Coptic language, pat ba'avt, it means to Pat ba'afriki pat in some type of African language means two. So two plus two totafos teaches us about the four compartments of the tefillin. Yaakov and Lavan make their treaty, and the Torah records the fact that Yaakov called it Galid, and Lavan called it Yigar Sahadusa. So the Maharal of Prague points out that, and you see, there are a couple of other examples of this, that points out the Gerarie, that why does the Torah use foreign languages in the Torah? To show you the nitzchias of Torah, the eternality, and really the mobility of Torah, that no matter where we are, no matter what circumstances we find ourselves, whether we find ourselves in Africa or anywhere else in this world, Lemaisa Torah has the ability to exist. So whether we're in Greece, whether we're in Africa, or any other far-flung place on the face of this earth, at the end of the day, Torah is not confined to any particular geographic location, or for that matter, to any particular culture. Wherever we are, wherever we go, Torah comes with us. So let's go by there. So the Gemara says, Shal asher of shal irani dachas pasal. So remember, now we're going to go through the Mishnah line by line. So the Mishnah said that if you use an esrog of an asherah, remember again, the asherah is the tree that is used for avodah zarah, or a irani dachas is a city that has worshipped idolatry. So if you use an esrog from either one of these circumstances, it's pasal. My taimo, what's the reason? So we've already said this before, Rabbi said, by lulav, by hadas, and by arava. My taimo, kevon de la srefa koi, Kisuse mixas shiure, because again, remember, since the esrog of an asherah or the esrog of a irani dachas have to be burnt, have to be destroyed, therefore they are considered to be as if they are lacking in the shear. Once something is omed to be destroyed, then by definition, it's to a certain degree halachically, it's as if it's already been destroyed, and therefore it lacks the sufficient shear, therefore it's pasul. Vishel orla pasul. Similarly, again, if you have an esrog of orla. Arla, again, remember, first 3 years, it's also puzzle. My taima, what is the reason that an esrog of Arla is puzzle? Pligi bar Rabbi Chiya bar Abin, Rabbi Asi, it says, interesting machlokes. So Rabbi Chiya bar Abin and Rabbi Asi argue. Chad amar lefi she'ein bahet rachilo. So one opinion holds that the reason why an esrog shel Arla is no good is because you can't consume it. You can't eat it. The chad amar lefi she'in bad din mamon, and the other opinion holds because it has no monetary value for you. They will say, let's look at Rashi for this just a little bit. Lefi she'in bahet rachila, v'rachmana amar lachem haraui lachem b'chol darche hana asam. They will say, it's a very interesting drasha. So apparently, Reb Chiya bar Avin is saying that ulakachtem lachem, you have to take the esrog for you, which means what? The esrog must be yours in every way, which means, and what's the most simple way in which you demonstrate ownership over the esrog? That technically, if you want, you would have the ability to eat it. That's the most basic demonstration of lochem. Mm-hmm. And because you cannot eat an esrog of arla, therefore, by definition, it is not yours. Therefore, it's not yours. On the other hand, Rabbi Asi said, Lefi she'ein bad din mamon, she'ein oshave pruta, da'asiri hanahu, hilchach lav shalachemhu. I will say, here's the problem. Arla fruit is aser ba'ana, at least according to the sheet over here, is aser ba'ana. Therefore, again, it has no monetary value, and therefore it is lacking in lochem. Now, what's interesting over here is both Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabbi Asi agree on the basic premise, which is that lochem means that you have to have ownership. The machlokes seems to be on how that ownership must manifest itself. The first opinion says you have to be able to eat it. And the second opinion says it has to have monetary value to you. Therefore, in the case of Arla, according to the first opinion, you can't eat it, therefore it's not yours. According to the second opinion, the Maisa, you don't really own it because, again, there's no hanah from it. Therefore, again, you can't use it for the mitzvah. Oh, so we're going to see. So the Gemara says, first of all, Kasakl daite, man de boy hetrachila, lo boy din mamon. Uman de boy din mamon, lo boy hetrachila. So we'll say, at first we assume that these two opinions are mutually exclusive. That the one who requires that the esrog be consumable does not require that the mamon have that the esrog have a monetary value for you. And the one who holds that the esrog has to have monetary value for you does not require that the esrog has to be able to be eaten by you. But yet we learn Tnan. Shal truma tmeya psula. But yet we learned in our Mishnah that if you have an esrog of truma tmeya, so I'm going to say truma tmeya is just like it sounds. Kohen gets truma, the truma becomes tamei. And I will say, here's what's interesting. So the Mishnah says that you cannot use an esrog of truma tmeya. So the Gemara says, Bishlam alamando amar lefi she'in bahet rachila shapir. So according to the opinion who holds that in order to use an esrog for the mitzvah of esrog, you have to be able to technically eat it. It makes sense that an esrog of truma tzemeya can't be used. Why? Why? You can't eat truma tzemeya. But according to the opinion who says that lachem is satisfied, as long as you have financial ownership, then you should be able to use an esrog of truma tzemeya. Why? Hari masika tachas tafshilo. Because it must say, interestingly enough, lemaisa, if a kohen has truma tzemeya, although he can't eat it, he can get benefit from it. How? He can use it as fuel for his fire. As such, he does have financial ownership over it, and therefore, again, such an esrog should be fine. So the Gemara says, rather you have to say, Ella, beheter achila kuli amalo pligi diba'inon. Rather, the Gemara says, the truth is, everyone agrees that in order to satisfy the criteria of lachem, you have to be able to eat the esrog. Everyone agrees. Now again, we'll say nobody's actually eating their esrog on board, but the point is, it's a demonstration of ownership. The ability to do something, even though I'm not going to do it, is a demonstration of ownership in and of itself. So everyone agrees that the most basic demonstration of ownership is you have to be able to eat it technically. However, keep leagi, when do they argue? Now we're suggesting that both Rabbi Chiya bar Avin and Rabbi Asi both agree that you have to be able to eat it. So what do they argue about? Keep leagi, bedin mamon. Oh, does the esrog have to have a monetary value for you? Mar savar hetra achila ba'inon, din mamon lo ba'inon. One opinion holds that you only need the ability to eat it, but the esrog does not have to represent a financial ownership for you. Umar sabr din mamon nami bo'inon. And no, one requires that it even has to have a financial ownership for you. Or I should say, you even have to have a financial ownership in it. So the Umar says, maybe nayu. So what exactly is the, like, what's the nafgamina over here? What's the practical difference? So we'll say, we're just understand where we're holding right now is that at least we've established a baseline of agreement. Everyone is agreeing now on what? Everyone is agreeing that lamaisa, it has to have heter achila. You have to have a most basic ability to go ahead and eat it. So what's the fundamental machlokes? Do you have to have financial ownership over it? What's the nafkamino? Oh, the Gemara, I'm going to tell you. My ben ikibinayo, maister sheni shebirushalayim aliba derabi meir. The case, the nafkamino will be maister sheni yushalayim in accordance to the opinion of Rabbi Meir. Now, both say, listen to this. Maister sheni, we know, is a tithe that's taken during certain years of the agricultural cycle. And the different part, the intriguing part of that tithe is that it's yours. With one caveat, you must take it to Yerushalayim and eat it there. There's a fundamental machlokes as to who owns Meister Sheni. Who owns Meister Sheni? The Rabbi said, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion. It's actually, if you look across, they write literally right across. Go just take your finger, go right across to the right column in Rashi. You see that Rashi? The first word on that line is Shabir Yerushalayim. See that? So look three words in. Afilu Rabbi Meir da'amar Maestro Sheni Mamon Gavoahu. Rabosai, Rabbi Meir is of the opinion that Maestro Sheni belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Or I should say belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. That even though it's yours to eat, you don't own it. You don't own it. So the Gemara says, oh, the nafkamina between the two opinions will be Maestro Sheni according to Meir. So Maestro Sheni Yushalayim according to Meir. Meir holds what? That really Maestro Sheni belongs to the Beis HaMikdash. So listen to this. So according to the opinion who holds that all you need is Heter Achila, so Rabbi said, can you use an esrog of Maestro Sheni in Yerushalayim? Yes. Why? Because you can eat. Because you could eat Maestro Sheni in Yerushalayim. However, but according to the Manda Amo who says that you must have financial ownership over the esrog, then Maestro Sheni Mamon Gavoh, then that will not work. Why? Because at least according to Rabbi Meir, you don't own Maestro Sheni. Maestro Sheni is owned by the Beis HaMikdash. Tistayim Rabbi Asi, the Amar Lefi Shein Badin Mamo. And it would appear that it's really this Rabbi Asi who is the one who holds, because you're supposed to remember the Gemara is not exactly clear as to who holds what. So now the Gemara suggests that it would appear to be clear that Rabbi Asi is the one who holds that it's not just enough to have Heter Achila, but you also have to have din mamo. You also have to have financial ownership. How do we know that? Da'am Rabbi Asi, because Rabbi Asi says, esrog shal maestro sheni, if you have an esrog of maestro sheni, l'divir Rabbi Meir, in accordance with the opinion of Rabbi Meir, who holds that, again, maestro sheni does not belong to the individual, but it belongs to gavoha, Ein adam yotze ba yedei chavasa b'yamtov. A person cannot discharge their obligation with it on Yom Tov, because again, they don't have financial ownership over it. L'divrei chachamim, adam yotze ba yedei chavasa b'yom tov. But according to the chachamim, one can discharge their obligation with it on Yom Tov, because they're both saying, apparently, according to Rabbi Meir, again, Maaser Sheni is not yours. Because Maaser Sheni is not yours, therefore, Lamaisa, again, you can't use an Esrog of Maaser Sheni for Dalin Minim. According to the Chachamim, apparently just having the ability to eat it is enough for ownership. And even though it's not yours, Lamaisa, you could still use the Esrog. Tistayin. And the fact that Rabbi Asi is the one who quotes Rabbi Meir indicates to us that indeed Rabbi Asi is of the opinion that Lamaisa, in order for you to be able to use an Esrog on Yom Tov, you must be able to eat it as well as have a financial ownership in it. Yeah. Gufa. Amr Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Asi continues. Esrog shall Maaser Sheni. So we'll say, now the Gemara is just going to go back and quote that same Rashi. So we'll say, what we're holding right now is you have a fundamental machlokes between Rabbi Asi and Rab Abi and Rab Chiya Bar Abin in terms of how Lachem must manifest itself. Everyone agrees that Lachem manifests itself in what? The ability to eat it. Fundamental machlokes in whether or not you need financial ownership also. Rabbi Chiya Bar Abin says you do not need financial ownership. Rabbi Meir, Rabbi Asi holds you do need financial ownership, and apparently this is also a machlokis between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim. And the machlokis Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim becomes really clear in the case of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. So Rabbi Meir says you cannot use an esrog of Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim. Why? Because you do not have financial ownership over that esrog. Whereas the Chachamim say you can, which indicates to us that Rabbi Meir holds you need heter achila and din mamon, and the Chachamim say no, all you need is heter achila. Says the Gemara, Gufa. Let's go back and analyze this a little bit. Gufa. I'm sorry? Correct. Which is ultimately, again, why, again, all the, it's not a raya, but the Gemara is just saying over here that Chacham would also, even if the Chacham would hold that you do need financial ownership in it, Maaser Sheni Yerushalayim wouldn't be an issue. Correct. So the Gemara says, correct. I mean, the case of Maaser Sheni is not a raya to the Shita of the Chachamim. By mamon, by din mamon, because the truth is, according to the Chachamim, Maaser Sheni is yours anyway. So the Gemara says, Gufa, Amar Rabbi Asi, Esrog shel Maaser Sheni div Rabbi Meir, Ein l'adam yotzei yedei chavasa b'yom tov. So now the Gemara quotes this price again. Rabbi Asi said that Esrog of Maaser Sheni, according to the words of Rabbi Meir, a person cannot discharge their obligation with sukkis on it, with one sukkis with it. The divrei chacham, according to chachamim, adam yotze ba yedei chavasa b'yom tov. Person can discharge their obligation with it on yom tov, because again, the chachamim hold that lemais again, maaser sheni is yours. Now, also again, whether the chachamim are saying that because you don't need din mamon, or perhaps they're saying even if you do need din mamon, at the end of the day, maaser sheni is yours. It's yours, so you do have din mamon. So listen to this. Furthermore, the brayse goes on. Matzah shall Maaser Sheni. What about matzah? Pesach, matzah of Maaser Sheni. The Divrei Rabbi Meir in Adam Yotzei Ba Yedei Chavasa of Pesach. According to Rabbi Meir, you can't use matzah of Maaser Sheni on Pesach. Why? Because it's not yours. Because it doesn't belong to you. However, the Divrei Chachamim, Adam Yotzei Ba Yedei Chavasa of Pesach. But according to the Chachamim, you can use matzah of Maaser Sheni on Pesach. Because Lamaisa again, Maaser Sheni is yours. Similarly, Isa shall Maaser Sheni. I'll say if you have a dough from a Maaser Sheni dough, according to the Meir, such a dough will not be subject to the laws of Chala. Because again, it's not yours. Chala, remember, is the portion you remove for the Kohen. But according to Chachamim, you will be chayiv in Chala for such a dough. Okay, so we'll say now we just quoted three cases. So now Machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chacham extends in three cases. Number one is Esrog Shel Maaser Sheni. Number two is Matzah Shel Maaser Sheni. Number three is Chala of Maaser Sheni. Oh, so we'll see. So we'll see exactly what the Nekudas of Machlokes is before we get to the Pasuk. But the idea over here is all these cases, Rabbi Meir will say, can't use Esrog of Maaser Sheni, can't use Matzah, and the dough of Maaser Sheni is not subject to Chala. Because in all three of these cases, these objects do not belong to you. So therefore, so according to Chachamim, you can use the Esrog, you can use the Matzah, and ultimately the dough will be subject to Chala because these objects are owned by you. So the Gemara says, now let's analyze this. Maskeh for Papa. So Papa raises a question. Bishlama Isa, I understand why the Machlokes extends to the case of the dough of Maaser Sheni. Ksiv, Reishis Ariso Sechem. because the Torah, when it speaks about challah, says you have to take it from your dough. There's an issue of ownership. There's an issue of ownership. So I understand why. Well, again, so therefore Rabbi Meir will say you don't own Maaser Sheni, therefore you're not chayav to take challah from it, versus the Chacham say you do own the dough, and therefore you are chayav in challah. Eser Gnami, Eser Goldsmith says what? Ksiv Lachem, Mishel Lachem. Eser also says, well, the Kachtem Lachem, it has to be yours. I understand, therefore Machlokes. Ela Matzah, Miksiv Matzaschem. But I will say by Matzah, the Torah never discusses that it has to be your Matzah. I mean, it can't be stolen Matzah, but the Torah never discusses that you actually have to have financial ownership over that Matzah. Meaning I borrow some Matzah from my friends or some. So the Torah never phrases it in the possessive. So where do you know that this machlokis applies to matzah? So the Gemara says, "Amra Rashi, v'itim Rav Yemer b'Shalmiya, Asya lechem lechem." There's gzeir shav lechem lechem. Ksiv hacha lechem oni. It says by Pesach lechem oni. Again, whatever lechem oni means, we saw in Arei Pesachim, whether it means poor man's bread or lechem she'onin alav dvarim harbe or bread which you speak a lot about. Either way, it says lechem uksiv hasam, and it says there. And I've also, it says over there that there, by the way, is that there ultimately is chala v'haya ba'ach lachem milechem ha'aretz mal lahalon mishalachem v'lo mishal ma'aser. Just like over there, it means from yours and not from Meiser. Meaning, I will say again, just like by Chala, it means that in order for the dough to go ahead and be Chayiv, it has to come from your dough and not from dough of Meiser Sheni.
That's from Ba'ach Lechem.
I'm sorry?
Is that derived from Ba'ach Lechem?
No. That's Ariso Sechem. Remember, Chala has Ariso Sechem. All we're doing, the Gzera Shava, is just linking, is a conceptual linkage. So I'm linking matzah to challah. By challah, I already know that it has to be mine, ariso sechem. Therefore, again, ma'al lahalan mishalachem, just like by challah, the dough is only subject to challah if it's mine, velo mishal meiser, and therefore, again, it can't be from meiser sheni. Afkan mishalachem, velo mishal meiser. So too, over here, by matzah, it has to be mine, and not from Meiser. So the Gemara says the following. So here's what we've established. So now we've established why the Meiser again, the Machlokis will apply in all three cases. By Esrog and by Chala, there the Torah phrases it in the possessive, and the Gzer Shava from Matzah ultimately to Chala links those two concepts as well. So the Gemara says, Lima Misayele. Let's support this assertion. Isa shal ma'aser sheni p'turah min hachala. If you have a dough of ma'aser sheni, is potter from chala. These are the words of Rabbi Meir. The chachamim say chayeves b'chala. It's ultimately again chayev in chala. So we'll say, so the Gemara just seems to be quoting the same idea. It's the same case that we said before. You have a dough of ma'aser sheni. According to Rabbi Meir, it's potter min hachala. Why? Because it's not yours, you only chayiv to give challah from your dough. Ma'aser sheni is not yours, and the chachamim say you're chayiv in challah. So the Gemara says lema misayele hehe. So we're both say here's what's interesting. See, remember what the Gemara will often do is make a statement like we just said before. The machlokes Rabbi Meir and the chachamim, excuse me, Rabbi Meir and the chacham, about whether or not the dough of ma'aser sheni is chayiv in challah. The Gemara recorded the machlokes, and now the Gemara says, let's bring another something to support this assertion. What the Gemara brings is essentially the same exact statement. Someone says, what do you mean, Leima Misayele? You're restating the same exact case. The Gemara says, no, I'll tell you why. So the Gemara says, Ela, mi de baha pligi, baha nami pligi. So Gemara says, here's what's interesting. This brisa only quotes the machlokes Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim vis-a-vis dough of Ma'aser Sheni. This brisa does not quote it regarding Esrog, nor does it quote it regarding Matzah. So the Gemara says, I would have thought from this brisa, perhaps from the fact that Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim disagree in the case of Isa, that they also disagree in the case of Avoda, in the case of Esrog, in the case of Matzah. Oh, Dilma, or perhaps I could say, bless you. Shiny Isa, the Amar Kra, perhaps again, Chala is different because the Pasuk says, Ariso Sechem, Trezimni. Or maybe Chala is different. Why? Because it phrases it in the possessive twice. It says arisosichem, arisosechem twice. Okay, so I'll say therefore again, you need both cases. So what comes out to Rabbi Osai is there is a fundamental focus that I made in all three cases. So Rabbi Osai again, the reason why the point that this last case is bringing up is that the unique part is, whereas the previous Braisa quoted all three cases, this Braisa just quoted one. So the fact that it just quotes one is you could interpret that two different ways. Either to say that just like they argue in this case, they argue in the other two cases as well, or perhaps no, they dafka only argue in this case and not in the other cases. In any event, what comes out is that Lamaisa, there is a machlokes between Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim in all three cases. Also, you should know that Lamaisa, the Rambam paskins like the Chachamim in all three of these cases. That like the Chachamim, that as long as there is hetra achila, as long as you have the ability to eat the item, even if there's not din mamul, so let's say example by esrog, with Rambam paskins that an esrog of Maisur Sheni in Yerushalayim. Well, this is actually we saw this already in the Mishnah, right? That the Mishnah said, right? Mishnah said, v'im natal kosher. So the Maisa again, the Mishnah already said that lechatchila you should not take the esrog of Maisur Sheni, but if you did, you're yotze, why? Because he passed like the Chachamim, that as long as there is hetra achila, as long as there is the ability to eat it, even if you don't have full din mamon, it's okay. But the truth is, Maisur Sheni Yerushalayim, you do have full din mamon. Matzah, you just have the ability to eat it. Even matzah of Maisur Sheni Yerushalayim, you'll be able to eat, you'll be able to use. And furthermore, again, we pass like the Chachamim as well as challah, that if you have a dough of Maisur Sheni Yerushalayim, you'd be chayv teichal. So essentially, the Rambam paskin is like the Chachamim in all three cases. It's actually interesting. The Shulchan Aruch does not discuss these cases because, again, in general, the Shulchan Aruch does not get into cases like this when dealing with Maaser Sheni. Because Maaser Sheni, again, by the time the Shulchan Aruch is codifying the halacha, no longer doesn't yet apply, I should say. So the Shulchan Aruch doesn't discuss it. So the Gemara goes weiter. Shal Truma Tzmeah Psula. The Mishnah said if you have an esrog of Truma Tzmeah, you may not use it. It's pasul. Why? The less ba heter achila. Because again, Rabbi Osai, remember, we've already established that what? Everyone agrees that the most basic manifestation of lachem is how? Is in your ability to eat it. If you have an esrog or truma tmeah, no one could eat that, therefore it's not usable. V'shal truma tahora lo yitol. But again, lachatchila, if you have an esrog of truma tahora, you shouldn't use it. So the Mishnah said, when it came to truma tahora, you shouldn't use it, lachatchila. But if you used it again, lemaisa, if you used it again, lemaisa, your yotze. So the Gemara says, "Shal truma tameya." Excuse me, "Shal truma tahora lo yito." Pligi bar Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi. Rabbi Amir Rabbi Asi have machlokes about this. Chad Amar mipnei shemachshira. Rabbi says it's very interesting. One says, "You know what? You can't use it because you will make it hukshir. You will make it receptive to tuma." V'chad Amar mipnei shemafsida. And the other one says, "Because you will cause it to become deficient." And I will say, "What does this mean?" So just out quickly outside because of time. Machshir is the supposed like we'll learn later on. What they used to do with their lulav when they were finished using it is they would take the lulav and they would put it in water. They would put it in water afterwards. So what's interesting is the following. So what happens? So now imagine you take your lulav out and then you go ahead and you put it next to your esrog. And remember again, in order for an item to be a kabel tumah, what has to happen? It has to become wet. It has to come into contact with liquid. So what's the issue? The issue is you're going to take your lulav out of the water. Now you're going to hold your bundle together. What's going to happen to your esrog? Your esrog is going to get wet. What happens when your esrog gets wet? It becomes mekabel tumah. Now again, it doesn't become tameh, but it becomes receptive to tumah. Well, once it becomes receptive to tumah, now you run the risk of being metameh your esrog. Now remember again, Rav Osai, if you have an esrog of truma, the act of being metame truma or allowing truma to become tame is a very serious thing, even if it happens accidentally. Therefore, the first opinion says we don't want you to use an esrog of truma because again, inevitably the esrog is going to become wet. Again, because the lulav is wet usually, and therefore you're going to run the risk of making your truma esrog tame. The other opinion says mnei shemafsida. Mafsida, Rav Osai, means that what? Over the course of Sukkis, it was common that an esrog became a little bit blackened. Why? Because people would use it. And often again, Rabbi Osai, remember, don't think like today that everybody has their own esrog and this, you know, people would often share. So what happens if you pass the esrog person to person to person? Ultimately, the esrog gets the outside becomes darkened. Rashi says Shemafsida, Klipasach, it's one of them SS but Mishnah. So what's going to happen? So the peel is going to get blackened, and therefore, again, it's going to become really inedible. We'll see the peel could be used for certain things as well. The act of making the peel repulsive is an act of ultimately causing loss to truma. So these are the two different opinions as to why you can't use the esrog of truma. My opinion, what's the chilik? What's the nafkamina? Kigon shikara alea shem chutz mikli pasachitzona. This is interesting. Where you designated the esrog as truma, with the exception of its outer peel. So it's only everything beneath the outer peel of the esrog that becomes truma. So the Gemara says, Lemandar Nesha Machshira, Ika. So according to, we'll say in this approach, according to the Mandar, says you can't use an esrog of truma because you make it Hukshir Lekabal Tuma. So that's still going to apply in this case, because again, Rabbi Osai, we look at the pre in its entirety. However, Lemandar Nesha Machshira, but according to the Mandar, says that you can't use an esrog of truma because the outer peel becomes darkened. In this case, it'll be okay. Why? Why? Because the outer peel is not truma. Okay, nafkamina case. Vim not all kshera, but if you used it, it's kasher. Lemadamar v'neshein b'heter achila, harayesh b'heter achila. So Mosai, why could it be used? Because Lemaisa, again, according to the opinion, who says that an esrog has to be eaten, so this esrog has the ability to be eaten. Granted, not by everyone, only by the coin, but that's okay. It doesn't have to be able to be eaten by everyone. As long as it can be eaten by someone, that's called heter achila. Lemadamar v'neshein b'din mamon, harayesh b'din mamon. And according to the opinion, who says about having a financial interest, again, one does have a financial interest in this esrog as well. Why? Rashi points out, Kohen Mekadish Ba'asa Isha, V'Yisrael Nami Im Nasna La Kohen Mekadish Ba'asa Isha, Mokhul Akanav Adam Shalo. So we'll say again, because remember again, for a Kohen certainly has financial interest. And if a Yisrael has Truma, let's say a Kohen gives a Yisrael Truma, a Yisrael can sell that to other Kohanim and keep the profit from that. So the Ma'is say again, whether you hold that it has to be eaten, it can be eaten by a Kohen. And if you say that it has, you have to have a financial interest, both the coin as well as the Yisrael can have a financial interest in such an esrog. V'shel demai, and if you have an esrog of demai, Yenemira Bo said that was the machlokus between Beishamai and Beisilo. So Beishamai says you can't use it. Beishamai says it's no good, and Beisilo says it is good. Remember, what is demai? Demai is produce of an amaretz that you do not know if it has been tithed or not. So the Gemara says, my time at the Beisilo. What is the reason of Beisilo? Kevan di'i boi mafkir lehu l'nechasei. Because according to Beis Hillel, again, were you to go ahead and be mafkir all of your property, v'havile ani, you would become a pauper, v'chazile. Now, I will say, here's what's interesting. Beis Hillel says like this. The idea with demai is you have to tithe demai. So if I purchase demai produce, I have to tithe. One exception, a pauper. A pauper, a poor person, is permitted to eat demai without tithing it. Now, I will say, the reason for that is because the truth is, the statistical probability is that this produce has been tithed. It's a chumrah. We have a stringency that we re-tithe it because we're not sure. But at the end of the day, when push comes to shove, we're pretty sure that it has been tithed. So therefore, under extenuating circumstances, like a person is poor, we don't make them tithe it again. So Beis Hillel says, essentially, a person could instantaneously impoverish themselves. How? I say all of my property is hefker. If I say all my property is hefker, I'm instantaneously impoverished, and therefore, again, I'd be able to eat demai. So therefore, technically speaking, since under certain circumstances, I'd be able to eat demai, that's called heter achila. So therefore, again, hashtanami lachem karina bay. Disnan, ma'achilin esha'aniyim demai, ve'esachsanya demai. Because the Mishnah says, you are permitted to go ahead and give the poor to eat demai, achsanya. I will say achsanya refers to soldiers that were, so Jewish soldiers that were stationed again in the city. So the residents of the city were obligated to go ahead and give the soldiers food and lodging. So you're permitted to go ahead and give the soldiers demai. So therefore, according to Beis Hillel, demai satisfies the criteria for consumption that you could eat. Technically speaking, you could eat an esrog of demai. Beis Shammai says, ani lo ochel demai. Beis Shammai, on the other hand, disagrees. And Beis Shammai holds that even an ani may not eat demai. Disnan. Beis Shammai disagrees. He holds you can't give the ani to eat demai, nor can you give the soldiers to eat demai. V'amar Rav Huna said, Tana, Beis Shammai or Beis Shammai says, Ein ma'achilin es ha'aniyim, Ve'esach sanoim demai. Beis Shammai says that you may not go ahead and give the poor, nor can you give the soldiers demai. Beis Shammai say machilenas ha'aniim demai. Whereas Beis Hillel holds that no, you can give to the poor as well as to the achsanai. So we'll say therefore fundamental as to whether or not demai satisfies the most basic din of hetrachila of lachem. According to Beis Hillel, because you can instantaneously impoverish yourself, yes, it's good. According to Beis Shammai, it's not good because even actual aniim may not eat demai. Shall ma'aser sheni shibu Yerushalayim? What about an esrog of ma'aser sheni Yerushalayim? So leman darum neisha machshira. Hari Machshira. So we'll say, here's the issue. According to the Mandamu, who said that you should not use an estrog of Truma, because since it's going to come into contact with water, you're making it kosher lekab, hochshel lekab al Tuma. That same fear would apply over here. Lemandamu neisha mafsida, hari mafsida. And same idea, according to Mandamu, who said that you can't go ahead and use the estrog of Truma, because you're going to cause the rind to become blackened, and therefore you'll end up causing a loss to Truma. That same concern would apply over here by Ma'aser Sheni. Vim Natal Kshera. So we'll say, but yet again, by the estrog of Ma'aser Sheni, if you took it, it's kosher. Why? Lamandar Mish in Baheter Achila Divri Hakol. Because we'll say, remember, according to the Mandar, who said that you require Heter Achila, then in order for the Lachem criteria to be satisfied, you have to be able to eat it. So that criteria is satisfied here. Why? Because you can eat Ma'aser Sheni. Lamandar Amalafisha in Badin Mamon. But according to the Mandarma who says that it's not just enough to be able to eat it, but you have to have financial interest here. So whose opinion is reflected in the Mishnah? The Rabbanon. Because what does the Rabbanon hold? The Rabbanon hold that Ma'aser Sheni is my property. And therefore, because it's my property, not only do I have the ability to eat it, but I also have a financial ownership in it. Right there. So the Gemara says, also chazazis. So we'll say, let's at least begin this next line, and then we'll have to continue it tomorrow. We'll say, the chazozis is this, it's often translated as like a wart-like protrusion. Remember, an estrog has two different types of things on it. There's what's called, most often what you find on estrog is you'll see like a little bit of like a brownish, like discoloration on it. That's what we call that. That's called a bletlach. That's actually from the leaves. That is not a problem in the estrog itself. That's usually how the estrog grew, that it could be a leaf grew against it and ultimately discolored it. That is totally fine. We'll see. If it covers a majority, perhaps one shouldn't use the estrog, but that is totally fine. What the Gemara is referring to over here is a chazozis. A chazozis is something. And by the way, when you run your hand over the blet, when you run your hand over the leaf mark, it's smooth to the touch. You actually can't feel a difference in the surface area of the estrog. What we're going, and we'll have to pick this up tomorrow, but what we're going to discuss tomorrow is the chazozis. The chazozis is like this growth on top of the estrog that extends above and beyond the surface of the estrog. So the Mir Tashem will pick up with that halacha tomorrow.
We have that
these days. Chazozis? Oh yeah, you don't see it because truth is, with the estrogen here, I don't let those get to the table, because we'll see again those although some of them you can use some of them under certain circumstances, but we try not to use an estrog like that. But we'll see the details tomorrow in the session.
You can eat it.
No, I'm sorry.